Our next presenter is speaking on permitting and siting regulation overview and is Brooke Marcus, a partner in Nossman's Austin office. Brooke is a natural resource lawyer focused on renewable energy development while maintaining compliance with environmental laws. She is the go-to counsel for matters involving the Endangered Species Act, the Migratory Bird Treatment Act, the Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act, the Clean Water Act, the National Environmental Policy Act, and the National Historic Preservation Act. Brooke counsels some of the nation's largest wind energy, solar energy, and electric generation and transmission companies on compliance strategies and considerations arising under federal natural resource statutes. Please help me welcome Brooke.
Okay, hey all, thank you for the introduction, Maria. We're gonna cram a lot of permitting into about 40, 45 minutes, and I'm gonna keep it fairly high level given that from state to state, the permitting changes so significantly. What I'm really gonna focus on are the things to think about when you're approaching permitting, when you're looking at someone's permitting, when you're thinking about timing and planning and cost, and why there's some considerations that really should be taken into account early. Before I do that, I was going to tell you a little bit about me because it's going to color the lens that you'll hear all my examples. I spent a lot of time in the federal wildlife space, so a lot of species permitting, Endangered Species Act, as Maria said, Migratory Bird Treaty Act, and then all the attendant things like Clean Water Act, nationwide permits, whether you have a general condition 18 trigger, those sorts of things. In Texas, I do a lot of permitting opinions, those sorts of things in support of project financing. I also look at projects on behalf of tax equity investors, potential purchasers. Federal wildlife law goes all over the country, so projects are all over the country. And so I see a little bit about what happens in local jurisdictions, enough to know the vast differences that can change from one state to another, from one county to another. So a lot of the examples you're going to hear today are naturally going to be species examples, but they exemplify some of the things that you want to be thinking about in permitting, but I figured I would warn you when you start hearing a lot of animal stuff, that's why. So let's start first with just some of the practical considerations. So things to think about when you're thinking about permitting and siting. The permit processes can take time, almost always longer than expected. And so you really need to manage expectations, whether you're on the permit team trying to manage expectations for either financing, for development, for legal, for any of it, or if you're looking at a permit scheme, looking at a Gantt chart about permitting, understand that schedule slips, agencies, all of those things are going to factor in. The other thing is that the cost of preparing the permit packages, the engineering, the biological surveys, the consultant work, it can come at considerable cost. As I've already said, the permits and processes really vary widely across jurisdictions. We'll go over a few examples that you know what to look for if you're thinking about what sort of permitting and siting considerations you need to be weighing whenever you're thinking about a project. One thing to also take note is a lot of these processes have a public notice component, whether it's publication in the Federal Register, whether it's publication in a local newspaper, whether it's a public hearing. A lot of the different processes do have a public input component, and that can really raise the profile of a project and get folks looking at it that may otherwise wouldn't have really known about it. The other thing is that even once you get the permit, there can be considerable expense for implementation and maintenance of that permit. You know, when you think of species permits, you've got the minimization and mitigation that comes with kind of the upfront obtaining the permit, but there's usually some sort of monitoring, reporting, maintenance of certain minimization measures, those sorts of things. That's also a cost to be considered. Permits also create an additional litigation risk, right? That's usually a final agency action that, depending on the jurisdiction, gives way to certain rights for folks to challenge, whether it's federal and you have the Administrative Procedure Act or through state policies and procedures, there's opportunities for folks to challenge those permits once they're in hand. On the flip side, a lack of permit obviously creates an enforcement risk. And so when you're determining a permitting strategy, whether or not you really need a permit, whether it's kind of in a gray area, whether there's, you know, pros and cons of going for a permit or not, and it's maybe arguable where one is needed, you have to be aware of that enforcement risk and weigh that and what the enforcement risk really is to understand how the laws work, how they apply, and what that risk looks like for a project.